Zone. Here we use a lot of F words. Food, fiber, and farming. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Yeah, and how about fun on a Wednesday morning? Come on in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. So glad you're along with us. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day today. Maybe a few more clouds than we experienced yesterday. 67 our expected high. Tomorrow, rain is in the forecast, and honestly, that's welcomed by a lot of Wisconsin farmers and gardeners. 56 our expected high on Thursday. Morning clouds on Friday, but then sun in the afternoon. 58 will bounce back up to 70 degrees under sunny skies for what looks to be a gorgeous weekend. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, joins us with all the details you're looking for weather-wise in about 15 minutes. Having some fun this morning. In just a moment, Stephanie Hoff is going to remind you tonight is another debut of Top Chef Wisconsin. We've been following the chef testants as they learn a little bit more about Wisconsin agriculture through the food ingredients they use. Stand by for an update on that. Automation. You know, sometimes I think farmers get a little frustrated at the general public's perception of them in bibbed overhauls, a seed cap, a toothpick in their pocket. Today's agriculture is very, very much focused on technology. Charity Seebecker's got an excellent example of that coming up later today. And I'll catch up with my friend Ashley Hewn from the Steffes Group to find out how the spring auction season's coming along. Stick around.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When a company only does business in Wisconsin, that's Wisconsin Strong. Rural Mutual provides all lines of insurance, including commercial, farm, home, and auto. And your premiums stay right here to keep Wisconsin strong. Local agents, local underwriters, local claims adjusters.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Wisconsin is in the spotlight on a global stage thanks to the popular television series Top Chef. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and this season, the competitive cooking show takes place in America's Dairyland. The latest episode featured more than a dozen award-winning Wisconsin cheeses, including Sartori Cheese in Plymouth. Master cheesemaker Pam Hodgson has found her audience has expanded after her appearance on Top Chef. She was one of the celebrity guests in this latest episode. She says the exposure brought tremendous value to Wisconsin dairy.
As a Wisconsinite, we all know how fabulous Wisconsin cheese is, but it's really put us on a national stage. All of us at Sartori, we're really thrilled with having our product out in a national market. If we had to pay for that kind of exposure, it just would be a huge sum. And we're really thrilled too with how well our chef did with our cheese. Sartori cheeses are meant to elevate any dish or any event, but really the hand finishes, the first focus would be as a table cheese. The chef or chef testant took our cheese and doubled down by using a wine reduction. So I feel like that the chef really understood our cheese and really played well with it. We're just delighted on what she did and how she presented our product.
And Pam, when you were introduced onto the show, when you walked in front of all the chef testants, they said you are one of just two female master cheesemakers, and all of their faces were kind of like, they were wowed. Speak to the Wisconsin Master Cheesemaker program, how unique it is to Wisconsin, and how that was portrayed through Top Chef.
The Wisconsin Master Cheesemaker Program is just a great, great program. In Wisconsin, we take cheesemaking and all of dairy very seriously, but through the program, it's helped us move our cheesemaking and our cheeses to the next level up. So it's just fabulous. It's been good for our industry.
Pam Hodgson is the master cheesemaker at Sartori Cheese in Plymouth, featured in the latest episode of Top Chef that was all about Wisconsin cheese. Because our license plates say America's Dairyland and we're the home of the Milwaukee Brewers, it's not an unknown fact that Wisconsin is the land of beer and cheese. But Top Chef contestants were surprised at the quality and quantity of cheese that we produce. We sit down with Top Chef contestant Michelle Wallace. She brought her pitmaster skills and Southern barbecue heritage to Wisconsin, but she'll be bringing this new knowledge about Wisconsin agriculture back home with her.
I think most most people can say that they know that Wisconsin is kind of beer land and cheese land. As far as like anything else, that's all I kind of really knew about the state. I was excited to get here and kind of really get enthralled with more. So.
And you've had a chance to experience some of the beer scene, some of the cheese scene. Mm-hmm. But Michelle, you've also been presented with ginseng in the most recent episode and Door County cherries, two products that Wisconsin is known for around the globe. Did that surprise you? Are you surprised by the diversity of products that Wisconsin does have to offer?
Absolutely. I mean, we got a chance to see, three of those things, with me working with ginseng and cherries in the quick fire for this cheese challenge, and then working with these amazing cheese makers and all that. I mean, those are three heavy hitters in this area for agriculture and the things that they produce. I must say that I've never worked with ginseng like that. I couldn't really think about it's like one of those things. It's like, was I expecting Kristen to be like, hey, this is some really fresh ginseng in this dish? Like you never hear that. So the ginseng kind of stumped me a little bit, but it was really amazing to work with.
What Wisconsin ingredient has been your favorite so far in the season?
Working with the Miller Brewery and drinking Miller High Life, I mean, that was kind of one of my favorites. But to be honest, this is our third week in, and this cheese challenge really has been the pinnacle for me so far. And working with all of these cheeses, getting a chance to see these makers, hearing the stories, how these dairy farmers work, and then how it gets turned into these amazing products, it's absolutely incredible.
And I know, Michelle, you probably got so many cool things to tell me about barbecue down south. What kind of recommendations, though, would you give to someone not from Wisconsin to say, hey, there is a food culture up here? What is it in your eyes?
It's such a blue-collar, hardworking area, right, this state of Wisconsin. And I think as humble as this food is, I think that technique, history, all the things that this state provides, you can see in its dishes. So if you find a place that has a chef that is sourcing locally, that's using farmers markets and getting directly from the farms, you're going to find a really good meal that probably has a rich history and a great story, and ultimately be delicious on the plate.
Top Chef contestant Michelle Wallace along with us. She actually won the top spot in the Cheese Festival Challenge during the third episode. She used Uplands Cheese's Pleasant Ridge Reserve out of Dodgeville. In this season of Top Chef, we are meeting talents from all over the United States and also here locally. Contestant Dan Jones is the Wisconsinite in the competition, hailing from Milwaukee. He says he was still surprised by what our state has to offer. Something he learned while on the show, Wisconsin is the number one grower of cranberries. He says there's another ingredient, though, that he enjoys using that grows here in Wisconsin.
Kind of like my favorite overall Wisconsin ingredient to use, especially at the restaurants lately, have been sunchokes, which grow in the ground. They're like a tuber similar to, it's like a hybrid of a potato. It's the root of a flower. It's just a really insane vegetable that grows really well in Wisconsin.
Do you think that Wisconsin's pulling out all the stops during this season of Top Chef? Do you feel like it's been impressing your fellow, competitors and the judges and the viewers?
I think so. I love the fact that we have such an opportunity this year just to really put Wisconsin food as a whole on the map. And I think we're taking full advantage of it. And I think we're showing ourselves in a great light.
For folks who may just be tuning into the show or, want to know more about you and your Wisconsin background and food, tell us about yourself.
Sure. So, I mean, I started cooking, actually. My first cooking jobs were in Door County, Wisconsin, when I was 19 years old. Moved back to Chicago, which is where I'm from. I grew up in the city of Chicago, and then moved to Milwaukee 12 years ago. Me and my partner Dan have owned Dan Dan Restaurant now for almost 8 years. It'll be 8 years in the summer. And Esther Ev will be 8 years old come the fall, which is our second restaurant.
So I imagine, since you are familiar with America's Dairyland, do some of the people think this is a walk in the park for you?
I think people do think this is a walk in the park for me. They think this is going to be easy, but it's actually, I really felt like it was harder because I was actually in my environment. I got homesick really easily because I'm surrounded by this. I'm at home, but I can't really participate in my life. That was always really difficult. As far as the challenges with the food, I can cook anything with anybody. I'm good no matter what, where we are.
So as a Wisconsinite, what is your message, your takeaway so far from Top Chef that you think your viewers should know about farming and the food culture?
You know, it's amazing to see what is within like an hour away from your home. I mean, I live in the Bayview neighborhood of Milwaukee. You drive 45 minutes and you're in the Kettle Moraine and you're in the middle of nowhere. And I think, and it's just beautiful. And you have these like glacial lakes and we're surrounded by some of the best agriculture in the country and the best dairy in the world. And it's one of those things that like I think we take for granted being here and living here, but it's there. And it's also, you know, it's out there for you to check out. It's super fun. I love our state. It's great.
And anyone can experiment with those fun ingredients that you get to work with on Top Chef, right? You don't need a state-of-the-art kitchen, right?
I am not a rocket scientist. I don't have some long degree. I'm not solving world's problems, but cooking food is just as simple as anything else. And it's great to be able to use great products. And once you have that as a starting point, you only go up from there.
Top Chef contestant Dan Jones is the Wisconsinite in the competition. You can watch Dan and Michelle compete tonight during the fourth episode airing on Bravo. This season of Top Chef is all happening in Wisconsin, and it's putting the spotlight on Wisconsin agriculture, not just cheese, as we heard earlier, but also cranberries, soy sauce, ginseng, cherries, and more. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Landscapers count on Kalani Topsoil for our consistent quality shredded soil used on major projects. No sticks or rocks to rake out. In fact, it spreads out as smooth as butter and deliveries that are on time every time, so the work crew isn't standing around. Now that saves you time and money in the long run. Landscapes and landscapers love Kalani Topsoil.
Take it from a worm. Trust the guys who know good dirt.
KalaniTopsoil.com.
Now that's good dirt.
QC Kinetics announces the arrival of National Medical Director Dr. Mitchell Scheinkup, an acclaimed orthopedic surgeon with two decades of experience and extensive research in regenerative medicine.
I was one of the first orthopedic surgeons to do it, and at the same time, I integrated clinical research that's resulted in several publications that are really directing the future of regenerative medicine. I was drawn to QC Kinetics after I reviewed their protocols, and everything they were doing is consistent with my own approach.
Today, Dr. Scheinkup leads the entire team of medical professionals at QC Kinetics, taking this exciting medical breakthrough to a whole new level.
What we are doing at QC Kinetics is transforming lives.
Get lasting joint pain relief. Call QC Kinetics now for your free consultation.
This is the future of medicine.
Call QC Kinetics, 608-319-1750. That's 608-319-1750. 608-319-1750.
Buying a really good piece of jewelry may seem intimidating, but not after you talk with William Thomas. They take the time with you so you know your money is well spent, not overspent. Their decades of knowledge shine almost as brilliantly as the stunning stones in your custom piece. Come see the collection of gorgeous gems and choose one for your very own.
William Thomas Custom Jewelry. Your inspiration, your custom jeweler.
Celebrating 30 years of brilliance.
An industry that feeds the world is definitely an industry worth talking about. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Absolutely. Welcome back. I am Farm Director Pam Jahnke, and this morning we're talking a little bit more about something that's been in the headlines for the past 2 weeks. High pathogenic avian influenza, HPAI for short. It started with a conversation down in Texas where dairy cattle actually were showing symptoms of the flu. Then it went on to New Mexico, Kansas, also into Michigan, as well as Ohio, and into Idaho. So a lot of folks that are paying attention to this. But what you need to know is here in Wisconsin, we're in a unique position. It's not like our animals are immune to any of this, but we have got a communication system unlike any place else in the United States. It's called our premise identification law, and basically it requires Wisconsin farmers, even hobbyists that might have birds in their backyard or something like that, you must register where those animals, where those birds are living under the premise ID law. Why? Well, a database is maintained by the Wisconsin Livestock Identification Consortium. Julie Swenny is the executive director. This is critical information that becomes a part of the communication chain if it should be necessary.
They utilize the information to be able to realize who to contact and share relevant information. So depending upon the type of disease that you might be talking about, the Department of Agriculture, the animal health team, can explain to say, you know, stay out of the northwest corner of the county where a farm has been identified with a positive test for HPAI or whichever disease it might be, to know that there's a level of risk for that virus traveling in that area of the state. They also might suggest additional biosecurity measures on your operation or your premises, as well as restrictive movement in that area.
That's Julie Swenny, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Livestock Identification Consortium. Another reason why Wisconsin is unique is all the information they gather from those farms, from those backyard bird folks, from somebody that may have a couple sheep, a couple pigs, something like that, is the information is housed outside of the State Department of Agriculture or any state government at all. Julie Swenny explains.
Wisconsin is very unique in the fact that we are a third party. We are not a government entity. We exist solely for the management of this information and to keep it confidential. So while it is required to register premises in the state of Wisconsin and that the department has access to this information, general constituents do not have access to it. So the Public of Information Act does not apply to us because we are not a government entity. So you know that your cell phone number, your email address is not shared with anybody.
That's particularly concerning for a lot of farms. Obviously, you have to think about animal rights groups or others that might target that information. Again, that's why Wisconsin thought ahead and created an outside entity that purely manages that information. And Julie says, in reality, it's like a big phone book.
I think a really great way to think of it is that it's making sure that the Department of Agriculture has an accurate phone book or contact information for everybody that has various species of livestock. So making sure that if all of a sudden there's a risk of some sort of disease, whether it's minor or incredibly serious, it's just important to be able to contact livestock owners so that they understand the risk. You know, with HPAI, it's been around for a few years, but from every type of poultry owner, whether they have thousands of birds on a commercial operation or just three backyard chickens, it's important for them to understand the risk and to increase biosecurity measures when it makes sense.
Nice job. Julie Swenny, again, Executive Director, Wisconsin Livestock Identification Consortium, the independent body outside of state government that manages the information that ultimately can answer some questions when it comes to any of these contagious diseases or keeping the communication line open. And remember, if you've already got your premise identification number, you can always manage that information. Let them know if you've increased animal numbers. Let them know if you've moved animals to a different location. You can find it all online, WIID.org. WIID.org. Back with the weather after a break. I've got some good news, and I've got some good news. From Bavaria Sausage, fabulous Farm Babe PM Yankee here for the crew at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Hey, attention, they're expanding their retail hours. You'll have to check in from time to time, but it's good news as we go into the grilling season. The other good news is they're working on new recipes every day behind the scenes. So check back at their retail location, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg often, and always keep an eye on what's happening at BavariaSausage.com. That online store open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And as we get into grilling season, if there's something you're looking for, let them know. You can pick up the phone and give them a call, 800-733-6695. That's 800-733-6695. Take a look at all the old world flavors they've got available for you now to put on the grill and keep an eye out for new flavors coming to the showroom and online soon. BavariaSausage.com. All right, I've heard frogs that sound better than Stumach. I just croaked with him a moment ago, so I'll have to handle weather responsibilities for you this morning. The good news is today looks pretty manageable. We are going to experience some partly sunny skies. Looks like day daytime highs today, probably right around 66 degrees, a little bit of a breeze. And then hang on, because it changes tomorrow. 56 are expected high on Thursday. A good chance that we're going to see rain. I said to Stu, how much do you think? He said, quarter to a half an inch, probably the most likely amount. And then Friday, by Thursday night into Friday, windy, 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 windy. He stressed that quite a bit. So not a lot of severe weather on the way, but definitely weather that's going to be formidable when it comes to keeping things down on the ground. So that is what we're expecting in our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Sorry, I had to step in for Stu. Compure Financial, your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Find more at compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
So I became a Farm Bureau member almost 20 years ago to be part of the state's largest ag advocacy group. Plenty of opportunities within Farm Bureau for somebody that's involved in agriculture, whether to grow their leadership or to help be a leader in an industry that we have a great passion for.
WFBF.com.
They've really helped my leadership develop.
A voice for farmers, a vision for agriculture, Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we get you the spring supplies you need because we get you. For farms and projects of any size, find the right products at the right prices. Like 4x6-foot vulcanized rubber stall mats, just $39.99. Select all-terrain or convertible hand trucks, only $99.99. 40-pound bags of pelleted pine bedding, $6.99. Rewards members save an extra buck. Plus, join us in Madison, Wisconsin for the Midwest Horse Fair. Stop by the Blaine's Farm and Fleet booths for discounts, giveaways, and more.
Parts are missing and the instructions are confusing. Assembling your own furniture is frustrating and way unfair. Swap your tears for smiles and shop local at Portage Furniture, a family furniture store where you can snuggle in and test every option. Then get your perfect piece gently delivered, white glove style, and set up for free.
Experience the difference at Portage Furniture, proudly located in historic downtown Portage, and portagefurniture.com.
Your forever furniture.
Trusting someone else enough to pack up your stuff for the big move usually doesn't happen. Our employees are like family and have been with us for a very long time. You can feel comfortable with them packing things up and moving them. This is Brenda from Mad City Moving. We call that the All in the Family move.
Mad City Moving dominates any move. Their crew will handle your things, well, like your things deserve to be handled. Online at madcitymoving.com.
Mad City Moving. You haven't seen moves like these before.
Cash and carry discounts and budget-friendly pricing from Wiseway makes completing your flooring project simple. Choose from luxury vinyl, tile, and selected carpet. Perfect for basements, sunrooms, garages, plus campers and trailers. I'm Jeremy Yenser of Wiseway Flooring, inviting you to visit our showroom in Watertown, Lake Mills, and Econimowoc. See how our cash and carry products might be the right thing for you.
Commercial or residential, the wise have it. Log on to ineedflooringnow.com.
Tom from Tom's Auto Center. You know the colors of a stoplight. Red meaning alert, yellow meaning caution, green meaning it's safe to move forward. We use a similar system in our repair report, which you receive after every service. Red meaning it needs urgent attention, yellow meaning we have concerns, green meaning your vehicle is all good.
Tom's Auto Center. Get her fixed, get her done to get you going, guys.
Off Highway 51 in McFarland, a stone's throw from McDonald's.
Some jewelry stores try to dazzle you with gigantic showrooms and tons of inventory, but honestly, you don't want to pay for the jewelry store. You want to pay for your custom piece. William Thomas Custom Jewelry is proud of their quaint location and modest reputation for keeping their overhead low and their prices affordable. Allow William Thomas Custom Jewelry to help you create that one-of-a-kind piece.
William Thomas Custom Jewelry, your inspiration, your custom jeweler.
Here's farmer and landowner John Prue.
We purchased the land about 3 years ago, and there was an old farmstead on there with trees. We were going to clear the land so we could farm through it. We thought we knew where the pipe was, so we didn't call to get it located. The work on our property led to the damage of a light crude pipeline. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but it could have been much worse.
Never assume the location or depth of underground lines. Always call 811 or visit clickbeforeyoudig.com before you start work. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
They say yes to 7
straight days. A traveling dress rehearsal for you to get comfortable in the seat and feel the power behind the smartest purchase you've ever made. The 7-day, no questions asked return policy, if you need it, at Bergstrom Automotive. Join the Bergstrom Automotive family for the yes.
Are you in a place where you seem healthy yet lose energy halfway through the day? Your doctor says to rest, but what's really happening?
At Carbon World Health, they look at the root causes, hormone and blood levels, nutrition and hydration, to help you get to a truly healthy place. Boost your energy and embrace your health journey with Carbon World Health, a hormone health and fitness spa.
Madison West and CarbonWorldHealth.com.
And now a break from the Farm Report with Pam Yonke for a sports report.
Zachy, let me ask you this. Speaking of a-holes, I was asked this question earlier today, about half an hour ago. I thought it was interesting. Who would you rather have as a head coach, John Calipari, who just went from Kentucky to Arkansas, or Greg Gard?
That's a great question.
I know. I was. I had to think about it, and I said Gardo.
Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't. Here's the thing. All we do right now is talk about how Greg Gard, and it's not totally accurate, but like can't recruit elite players, can't do this, can't have teams that, and all the people that talk about John Calipari, he can't coach in big games.
But he can recruit.
He falls apart in big games. He's got all his talent. He falls apart in big games. I don't know which one would be more confounding and more anger inducing. I think it probably be the lack, inability to finish in big games, but at least you are in those big games too.
Yes.
But again, Kentucky's had a lot of talent and not won nearly as many titles. I remember going back and I think it's probably 2015, 2016, talking about John Calipari as a coach and being like, he's kind of underachieved. And they're like, no, he's got a national title. He's been in all these Final Fours. I'm like, yeah, but he's always had the best talent.
Yeah.
He just doesn't get it done. His whole thing is not a, like the other thing that'd be very anger-inducing is his whole thing is not about winning. It's about helping those players get to the NBA,
yeah,
getting and making their dreams come true. So I guess I'd rather have Greg Gard, but all that talent coming into Madison, if that were actually to end up being the case, it'd be tough to turn that down.
I think it shows how just a good of a coach as Greg Gard is. Right? I mean, Calipari is getting NBA-laden teams. Like, everyone there is, like, destined to the NBA. And they haven't gotten out of the first round since, what, 2019? You're listening to a guy who's, like, a realtor or insurance salesman in Oakland? Like, Greg Gard, I know they lost to James Madison, but, I mean, there's been Sweet 16s. There's been some runs, you know. Hell, they beat Purdue.
No, let's be fair. I mean, they haven't been on the second weekend since 2017.
Yeah, but I left that part out intentionally, but come on.
I know what you did. I know it doesn't help the point. Nor does losing to a 12 seed in 2019 or losing to a 7 seed in a home game.
Calipari just lost to some electricians and realtors and a freaking plumber.
Hey, it's tough when a guy goes off for 10 three-pointers. What are you supposed to do with that? Wisconsin, James Madison shot like 40%. They'll beat him by double digits. Slightly different thing here. I think we kind of talked about this. Is like if you're Kentucky, like yeah, that sucked, but like at least the guy played well. At least you got goalkeeper throwing up 10 three-pointers, and James Madison didn't play well offensively at all. And yeah, that was a little bit different losses. But I'm just saying, like when you're losing to double-digit seeds on a regular basis, or you're losing to teams
that's
that
what Kentucky's doing
lower than you. Right, but so is Wisconsin. Either one is having a ton of success.
Do you lean Gard over Calipari, or do you want the slimy?
Sliminess.
Of Calipari.
Everything in college basketball is sliminess at this point, right?
Yeah.
If depending on how you view it, it's all legal now, so it can't sit here and call it slimy. Anymore.
So how the hell does Rick Pitino get busted for like tampering? You're in an illegal time legally, but he's still finding ways to get it illegally done and busted. Like it's a head scratcher.
It's very tough. It's very tough because we know that even before guys hit the transfer portal, there's other teams talking to them. We know that you're not, like, when you go into the transfer portal, a lot of guys already have their location. They already know where they're going, and they already know the money that's going to be coming towards them. And that is, you know, obviously not legal.
Do you, have you heard of any names coming to Wisconsin for the portal at all? Or anyone that, like, besides Chucky's buddy, the hell is his name, that took the visit?
Frankie Fiddler?
Yeah, yeah. Anyone else?
Still working through his way. They're after a number of other guys. A guy like, his name's Brandon Angel. He's a guy from Stanford. He's forward. Wisconsin almost got him coming out of high school, but they ended up, it was essentially whoever took the scholarship first. It was between him and Ben Carlson from Minnesota, the four-star forward. And Ben Carlson ended up taking it. Wisconsin actually was on their way. Greg Gard and one of the assistants were actually on the plane going out to see Brandon Angel out in California. And he ended up, they ended up getting a call from Carlson saying, you know, I'm going to take the scholarship. And they're like, all right, well, I guess we're not going to California. So
now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Connecting producers and consumers one story at a time. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
I hope we're showing you this morning how unique Wisconsin agriculture is. I'm looking forward to Top Chef Episode 4 tonight to find out what Wisconsin-related ingredients they throw at the contestants. We also talk about how unique Wisconsin is when it comes to our communication skills, keeping farmers all on the same page on things like high-path avian influenza. And technology plays a major role in Wisconsin agriculture today. Charity Seebecker's got a really cool piece on the way that shows how a Wisconsin farm kid has turned into a design engineer solving day-to-day problems that Wisconsin farms face. Stick around. That conversation's on the way. Oh, by the way, I'm Pam Yonke. So glad you're along with us. Glad to report that today we are going to see another pretty decent day. Partly cloudy skies, maybe not as sunny as it's been. 67 are expected high. Tomorrow we get a little valuable rain in our forecast, 56. Then Friday, morning clouds, afternoon sun, 58. The weekend looks gorgeous, if not a little on the warm side. Saturday and Sunday, sunshine both days. Temperatures, 70 on Saturday, 78 on Sunday. So today is the 10th day of April. What can I tell you? On this day in 1970, the Beatles break up. Paul McCartney decides he's leaving the band on this day in 1970. 10 years of existence, the Beatles as a group. And of course, McCartney went on to tremendous success. The rest of the group, so-so. But it broke up officially on this day back in 1970. On this day in 1998, negotiators in Northern Ireland reach a historic peace deal. They called it the Good Friday Agreement. It ended 30 years of violent conflict about Northern Ireland's constitutional status. If you've ever been there, and I'm very fortunate that I have been, they call it the Troubles. Well, it ended on this day back in 1998. Happy birthday to actor Steven Seagal, 73 years young. Mandy Moore is 40, and now you know. It's a Wednesday. Time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. You know how to find them, don't you? Steffes Group.com. They are masters when it comes to drawing an audience in to take a look at your individual piece of equipment or your real estate or a group. Don't forget, you want to talk about an auction? Now is a good time. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group. Yeah. Spring has sprung along a lot of this upper Midwest, Ashley. That kind of changes the dynamics a little bit for you guys, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. You know, we've got 21 auctions left here for the month of April, including our bi-monthly auction for the first half of April is going to be later this morning. And so we're excited. It's been a good run this spring. We're booking auctions for June right now and beyond. Looking forward to this planting season and getting through it and seeing what the market's going to do after that.
Yeah, what people have to understand, you guys toggle your own personal interests when it comes to spring planting with your responsibilities at Steffes. You might get tagged to be in a tractor cab yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely get some rock picking in this spring, that's for sure. But, you know, like I said, there's still equipment that you can buy this month and put to use here this spring. If that's something you're interested in, or if you're thinking farther out, maybe you're looking for harvest equipment. Just talked to a guy this morning, actually, that was looking for some combines here and asking when the best time to buy was.
Yeah, well, and that's a very good point. If you are looking for any advice, whether it's is now the time for me to jump in with an auction or whether it's searching for a specific piece of equipment, the folks at the Steffes Group are always happy to help you. And that includes thinking forward on scheduling your own auction. Once you hit the fields, like you said, Ashley, things take on a little different tempo at Steffes, but that's a great time to start gathering up your ideas on where you want to go with your own potential auction plans.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we always say that the people that plan ahead always do the best. You know, there's a lot of truth to that. We know that the longer your piece is advertised on the website, obviously the more people will see it and bring better prices. And, you know, same thing on the buying side. You never want to be stuck in a position where you have to buy something. Try and get it well ahead of time. And you know, and once you get something bought, we can always sell for you as well.
Well, and we want to make sure that we're not narrowing in the scope of work that the Steffes Group can offer to you. We talk, obviously, a lot about the farm equipment side of things, but this is also a critical time for anybody that's in the construction or, you know, landscaping or the specialty areas. Their season is coming on full, too.
Yeah, very true. A lot of bid letting going on in the construction world right now. That's one of the fastest growing parts of our auction business is some of these construction guys we've hired and just doing specific construction equipment. You know, we always want to put the right sales rep with the right stuff. And we call them SMEs, people that are expert in subject matter of what their forte is.
Yeah. Now, what do you suggest? We've talked about the price app and following along from that tractor cab when you get busy on a piece that you might be monitoring. Checking back on the website often, steffesgroup.com. You guys are always happy to talk to them. Toll-free number again, folks, is 800-726-8609. Keep an eye on those 21 remaining auctions, huh, Ashley? And then be ready to start making advanced plans if you want an auction of your own, huh?
Yeah, you know, it's been a very, very busy spring, even more so than last year. And I expect some of that to continue through the early summer months. And there's going to be a lot of buying opportunities, that's for sure.
Don't miss your market, folks, that is for sure. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group. They are there to assist you, whether you're buying or getting ready to sell. Again, steffesgroup.com is the place to start. STEFFES Group.com. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group. The mild weather we enjoyed in Wisconsin could add up to big pest problems for our crops this year. Steve Bailey is in Monroe, one of the Helena Agra advisors.
One thing I would challenge guys to think of, and a little bit of a conversation I've been having this last month, is we didn't get a killing frost. And what I mean by that is a lot of these rootworm beetles didn't have that frost to really nip them off. So I would challenge everybody that's listening today, make sure that if you're corn on corn, you're running a traded corn and or maybe a granular insecticide, or if you have in-furrow starter, there's options there too. But I think guys are really going to want to take a very close look to their fields and follow the insect pressure that we're going to have this year.
Rootworms, just one of the insects to keep an eye on, according to Steve Bailey from Monroe, one of the Helena Agra reps. You can find out more and find your local Helena rep at helenaagri.com. Just a quick informational update. We have received some revised numbers from the past weekend's Wisconsin Beef Improvement Association's bull sale that was held down in Platteville. If you're a beef producer or somebody interested in those bull prices, might want to revisit MidwestFarmReport.com and see some of the adjustments that the Wisconsin Beef Improvement Association made to their final sales results. Still very successful, just a little adjustment here or there. Again, MidwestFarmReport.com's got that for you. Markets this morning, they are adjusting to the upside, at least for right now, as far as grain trade is concerned. December corn on Wednesday morning is up a half at 468 and three quarters. November beans up a penny right now, 1179 and a quarter. July wheat, that's up a nickel, currently at 576 and a half. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped a half a cent to 156 and a quarter. 40-pound block cheese was back up two at 157, and AA butter stood still at 297 a pound. Right now, May Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, that's down a penny at $16.69. The June milk, That's down 12 at 1720 a hundredweight. Dairy producers are keeping an eye on what's happening at the U.S. Department of Agriculture regarding federal milk marketing orders. My goodness, we worked basically through all of 2023 to try to share input on what guidance we'd like to see the federal government give to federal milk pricing. Let's get an update with my fellow farm broadcaster, David Geiger.
The U.S. Agriculture Department will now consider updates to the federal milk marketing order. The deadline for modernization briefs was April 1st. Stephen Kane, an economist with the National Milk Producers Federation, says there is a huge list of requested changes, and the post-hearing gave all interested parties a chance to speak.
To effectively summarize their arguments and give USDA kind of a concise document that outlines why they think the federal order should be amended this way or that way. So really what it was a summarization of what we've been working on for the last 6 months.
That means a close look at what is done with federal orders and making sure it's doing the best work it can for dairy producers. One primary issue is returning to the hire of Class 1 mover.
We made a change a few years ago. Turned out to not be the best decision there. So we're looking to return to the hire of mover, which worked for many years, many decades.
Costs have gone up in 20 years, the last time the order was updated. Other requests look at making sure the system and formulas within orders are reflective of current milk production.
We took a step back, look at the federal order system, and said, all right, great. These need to be updated, but we can't just update one piece over there that's just going to benefit one side of the industry. We took a holistic approach and updated changes that are beneficial for the entire industry.
Processor representatives have been at these hearings as well. Kane has disagreed with much of what those groups put forth. However, one of the areas they could agree on were adjustments needed to make sure there is enough investment in processing, which also has not been updated in decades.
The make allowances are really the big piece there. We're looking to make some adjustments there to move those up, make sure that we have a healthy processing industry as well as healthy dairy farmers.
The modernization ideas and suggestions will take a while before implementation. USDA recommendations will come in July with finalization at the end of the year. Most decisions won't take effect until quarter one of 2025. I'm David Geiger reporting.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
At Blaine's Farm and Fleet, we get you the spring supplies you need because we get you. For farms and projects of any size, find the right products at the right prices. Like select sizes of AgriMaster stock tanks, $149.99, 10% off culverts, poly pipes, and heavy-duty tubing. 60-inch King Cutter 3-point rotary tillers, $100 off in-store. Rewards members save $200. Plus, join us in Madison, Wisconsin for the Midwest Horse Fair. Stop by the Blaine's Farm and Fleet booths for discounts, giveaways, and more.
Your parents moved to a smaller house. They're happy. But how'd you end up with their leftover furniture in your garage? And is that a box of sewing patterns from the 1970s? It's time to call Two Men and a Junk Truck, a division of Two Men and a Truck, to get it hauled away today. Get a free no-obligation estimate. We recycle and repurpose usable stuff. Experience the calm after the clutter. Visit twomenandajunktruck.com.
Keep what you love. Ditch what you don't.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, igniteglassandgifts.com.
Now that I refurbished my entire living room with Lazy Luxury, everyone keeps asking, is that a Lazy Boy recliner? What they don't know is that my budget allowed me to redecorate for a fraction with free in-home design included. I say yes. At Lazy Boy, customizable fashion and luxury can be this simple.
Lazy decorators love Lazy Boy. Lazy Boy Home Furnishings and Decor, Madison, East Springs Drive near Easttown Mall.
sows, cows, plows. Heck, anything connected to farming's on the menu here. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Yeah, and speaking of menu, if you're going to watch Top Chef tonight on the Bravo Network, what do you think about the Wisconsin ingredients that the chef testants are going to be challenged with? It's a big surprise. Nobody knows. Go ahead, and if you watch it and you've got some reaction, let me know your thoughts. You can always use our talk text line to communicate directly with me and the staff. You've got questions about Wisconsin agriculture, wonder about something that you see in a field, curious about something you notice in a grocery store, we'll try to get to the bottom of it. All you have to do is share your thoughts with us. Our talk text line is 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. On a Wednesday morning, we want to focus in on how farmers get answers to some of the questions they have about trying to get their job done. More and more today, we see farms that are very, very tight on labor, can't find good quality labor. So in many regards, they turn to technology. Charity Seebecker's got more.
Agriculture has increasingly relied more and more on automation to improve safety, production, and quality. Regardless of that final product, many growers, processors, and even transporters use automated equipment or rely on the support of utility systems. I'm Charity Seebecker from the Midwest Farm Report, and Vinny Endres is the president of Bitmast Automation and uses his personal farm experience to help farmers of all sizes reach their goals with automation.
Systems integration is the field we're in, which is customized automation that's really adapted to what the specific customer needs instead of a one-size-fits-all. So we use industrial hardware that allows us to program it and create the field devices that create a solution the customer needs for whatever their goal may be.
So take me through that process. How do you tailor then those solutions to really meet the unique needs or challenges of agriculture?
Right. So the biggest challenge we see in ag for selling our services is really the customer knowing what they need. So it all starts just get a site visit and walk through with them and point out some areas. Being from a farm, kind of have an idea of where those pain points are on a lot of dairies and grain operations. And so walking around, pointing some things out, pick off the low-hanging fruit first, you know, monitor levels, automate some process someone is in charge of so that it gets done repeatedly and easily. And towards the end of all this, we can kind of wrap it into more of a holistic approach. Using the power of the cloud and stuff, everything can be from the phone and kind of give people the tools they really need.
So from your perspective of your consumers, what are some of the more common ones they're requesting you to kind of help build and automate for them?
Yeah, the biggest one in the past year has been level sensing. So there's been some progresses in the level sensing industry over the years, going from some less reliable or more problematic technologies like lasers and ultrasound up to radars. And that allows people to know what is in my collection pits or grain inventories, and then we can tie that into automated sequencing. I need pumps to run at this level or that level. I need the grain system to shut off when this bin gets here, fill it to there so they don't have to stand around and babysit it all day, or even, you know, remember to log in and shut it down remotely. When we have those level features, we can do that automatically.
So are you kind of a one-size-fits-all? You can kind of do all automation on a farm depending on what they're asking for, or what is your specialty? Kind of take me through that.
Right, so it is customizable, and there's really no limit to what can be done. It's a lot of it is budget and feasibility. But these days, with the power of industrial networks, we're able to run everything over Ethernet. So if you have a large operation, we can still network different nodes and do things in a staged approach. There's not much of a limit. There is on the lower end, you know, there it's industrial hardware, so it is expensive, and so some things aren't worth it. And we're usually pretty upfront and honest about that, like, hey, this isn't worth sticking the investment of this in. But some of the hardware that we are using is pretty cost conscious, and the softwares we use allow us to be a little more efficient. So it really is kind of a one size fits all. And we do emphasize trying to integrate with a solution that's already existing. You know, Bowmatic already makes a milking parlor. Lele makes a milking robot. So we're more, well, let's interface with them to make everything work nice, not reinvent what's already been refined.
Can you take me through maybe success stories or recent ones that you've done or anything like that, case studies to show kind of just how much this helps improve farmers' bottom line and just their overall operation?
Yeah, so a big one has been everyone on the dairy now wants to do their own fine ground corn, but it's a slow process and it requires some sort of babysitting. So what we're able to do is automate that so that the mill can run on its own. We monitor the currents, the amperage draw of all the rolls, and they're able to set a bunch of different limits in there so that things run within their optimized window. And in one case, he sets his bin to 85% full. He knows there's 20,000 pounds in that overhead bin. It's at a remote site when he comes to get it for feeding cows. So the system starts up, it grabs grain from whatever bin he tells it to grab it from, and it runs until that bin's at that level and it shuts down. If anything were to happen through that whole process, all of those different components are interlocked so that an auger can't shut down and have grain still being forced into it and plug everything. It will shut down in a proper sequence, send them a notification that it did shut down so they can come and fix it. That's a big success story we see through dairy, is really that hands-off approach and only contact me if something's wrong.
That was Vinny Endres, president of Bitmast Automation. He added that farmers, crops, and cows don't stop, and neither does he. System uptime is crucial, and he knows just what it takes to keep things moving to help farmers of all sizes. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.